Good morning. It is good to be back with you after the holidays. Hope that everybody had a great season. It's such a wonderful time of year. And for many, it's a time in which we would gather with family. Now, there might be a few in this room who might say, yeah, that's why I hate this time of year, I imagine. But for most, it's a good time, but it's understandable, right? Family dynamics are difficult sometimes, and you go back with family, and you feel like you're back in high school or something like that, and you resume the roles you had, you know what I'm talking about. But for many, it's a wonderful time of year, as we have many traditions that go along with the holiday season. Does your family have traditions with the holiday season? I'm sure many of your families do. And what Cassidy and I did, our traditions have changed as we've moved from one place to another and kind of switch who we spend Christmas with and all that. And so this year we went down to Cassidy's family's house for Christmas and for New Year's and had a great time with them. And one of, I guess you'd say, not necessarily holiday tradition, but anytime we're gathered together with her family, we're often gather around a table or in the living room, but often a table. And we're sharing stories, but they're not just any stories. It's one of those stories, you know, it's one of those one-upper stories where like one person tells one story and then the other person says, oh, I got one better than that. And then, you know, you tell the other story, you know what I'm talking about. And so think about that tradition and you get past all the sort of the comedy of that. You see a value that is there. It's not that we want to one-up a story, but instead it's that her family values being around a table, sharing stories together. My dad would be embarrassed for me to share with you, but share something with you. That's always a great way to start the sentence. Yeah. When I was a kid, you know, we got some snow this weekend. Maybe some of you, it ended up going away pretty quickly, but for a second, I thought I was about to pull out the snow shovel. Well, when I was a kid, every time we would get a big snow, my dad was in the habit of coming and interrupting my snow day as I was playing video games, and we'd go out to the driveway, and we would go shovel the driveway, and then we would shovel 4 to 5 other driveways. And it was our elderly neighbors around the neighborhood. Now, my dad was, it's not that we just enjoyed shoveling snow, my dad was trying to instill a value there, core values of our family, which for them was sacrifice, generosity, and hard work, and service. Now, for 12-year-old Noah, didn't like it so much. Didn't like that. But my dad was trying to instill a value. Not saying it stuck, but at least he tried. What are some of your core values? What are the values of your family? What are the things that are important to you? One article said on core values said this, an individual or organization's fundamental beliefs and highest priorities that drive their behavior. It's a definition of a core value. It continues on and says, your values are ultimately what drives your identity and your decisions. So let me ask you again, what are your core values? What are the things that are most important to you? What are the principles that you live by? And what are the principles that your family lives by? And then maybe a step further into that question is, are you living out those core values, or do you live in tension with those core values that have been instilled in you? In 2016, a new TV show called This Is Us aired for the first time, and it's a TV show that goes through the story of the Pearson family, and through various seasons as they go through it and kind of tracking their ups and downs. But it's not as much as a family sitcom or just a story about the Pearson family as much as it is a story about a family's core values. And through the series and through the various episodes, yes, it's going through history, it's going through different seasons of life, there's a lot of flashbacks to when they were taught this, and now you go back to a present timeline where you see them living out that value. It's a really neat series, but what it is documenting is that tension of the times in life in which we're challenged to live into the values that were instilled in us. And so the interesting part of the series is that it goes into to times where they stick to their values, and then it also goes into times where they live in tension with their values and they make a different decision but it's ultimately about their family returning to core values. And so this morning we start a new series as well called This Is Us. And what I want to do in this series over the next several weeks is to talk about the core values of the Northeast Church. Several years ago, some leaders of the Northeast Church sat down and said, what's most important to us? What do we want to focus on? What are our core beliefs? Like, what matters the most to us? And then what do we want to spend our time doing? And so we're going to go through that in just a moment, talk about some of those important things for us. But I want to start off by sharing the Northeast story. And Grady, from time to time, I've heard him relate this to you. But for just a moment, for those who haven't heard it, back in the 1960s, three local families had a shared dream and vision for a church and mission outreach in the greater Cincinnati area. In fact, a mentor of mine in Little Rock found out I was coming here to Northeast, that Cassie and I were moving, he actually said that he had preached a gospel meeting at Northeast. And at that time, he said, and this would have been even before Grady was here, it was like right close to when it had first started, and he had said, I guess it was when they first built the building, and he had said at that point where the building was located that there was nothing. It says it was on the verge of nothingness. I mean, I can't even fathom that this was like the northernmost part and that there wasn't much north of here. Now it almost feels like we're central in some ways. But the church started out as in the growing suburbs of Northeast Cincinnati. They believed God had called them to reach out and to build a church here and to expand the reach of God's kingdom. And this church, from what we're told, started their church meeting in a school in Montgomery. And from there, they grew rapidly and then eventually built the building, as we know today. And that's gone through all sorts of reiterations and renovations and add-ons and all of that. But it started as they built this building, and Grady has shared this several times, in which as they were stepping out in faith to make this big move in order to build the building we see today, or at least parts of it, they ended up mortgaging their properties to purchase a piece of land where the neighborhood behind us, where residential spaces were then developed and sold to provide funds for the church facility that we have today, and the same property, which is an amazing story. Now, Dave Ramsey would definitely not recommend that practice, but apparently God approved of it, and the church continued to grow and continue to be successful and to reach people. And during the summer of 1973, the Northeast Church held its first Sunday worship service in this new completed facility. And a lot has changed in 50 years. The people that make up this congregation have changed. The building has changed a lot since then, and probably our core values from time to time have changed. But the mission has been the same. The mission has been to make disciples, to reach to the area of Cincinnati, particularly the northern suburbs of Cincinnati, and to go around and to go make disciples. So that's a brief history. That's the story of Northeast, and there's so much more that we could say there, but just a brief snapshot of how we got here. And so what do we believe? What does the Northeast Church believe today? And that was one of the tasks that leadership several years ago sat down and wrote these out so that we could look back at them and say, here's the core of what we believe. Not to document as like a big book on theology of everything we believe, because we could for sure do that. Biblical studies go on and on. There's always more nuance that needs to happen. But I said, but what's the core of what we believe as the Northeast Church? And you can find these on our website if you're ever interested looking. If you attend one of our open houses run by Grady, he'll go through many of these things. But I just want to briefly go through some of the core beliefs of the Northeast Church. First, we believe in God. That He's the supreme and perfect being who's existed eternally in the triune relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in Jesus Christ, the sinless and one and only Son of God, who willingly died on a cross, paying the penalty for our sins, raised from the dead on the third day, and he lives and reigns today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that God and Jesus abide with believers through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this indwelling presence empowers Jesus' disciples in living lives that please and glorify God. We believe in the Bible, and we believe that the Bible is God's will for us, and it's revealed in that God's will is revealed in the written word, Scripture, originally given through human messengers under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, the revelation of God was Jesus himself, is that he revealed God to the world. And we have these documents that point to him. We call that the Bible, or the books, the collection, a library of ancient books that we believe are inspired by the Holy Spirit that point to Jesus. And then we believe in worship, and we have a high priority on the Sunday morning gathering, as we see in Scripture. We believe in worship, we're expressing our love for God, but also expressing our love for one another, coming together as a family gathering, if you will, just like we did with our earthly families during this holiday season. And weekly, we join our voices in worship, and we encounter his word, and we remember Jesus' love for us in the Lord's Supper, and we give of our means in order to further the kingdom and the work being done here at Northeast. And then we believe in salvation. We believe that we're rescued of the consequences of our own sin by God's grace through Jesus, relying on his mercy for our forgiveness. And nothing we do in obedience or service adds to any merit. We can't earn it. It's not something we can take control of ourselves, but it's something we receive as we express our faith and repentance in Jesus, and that we do that in the moment of baptism. And then lastly, as far as our seven core beliefs, we believe in service. We believe that we're supposed to go out and do, that we're not just supposed to sit around and talk about what we believe all the time and debate about what we believe all the time, but we're actually supposed to take what we learn from Scripture and what we learn from following Jesus and go out and do. Jesus came to offer his life and gave himself up in death as a servant, and Jesus calls us to reflect his life as we serve others in his name and by his power. And we do this because we love God and others, and we're motivated by his love for us. This is the core of what we believe. It's not everything we believe, but it's the core of what we believe. We believe that these things that we've mentioned here are central to the teachings of Jesus, and their beliefs that we believe are important for those who attend this church and are part of this body. There's so many other areas where there's so much diversity and belief. We can't go through all of our beliefs because there's so many diversity of belief, but we believe these things are core. But we also have a purpose and a mission. And I hope if you've been coming here for any amount of time, I hope you've heard this before and that this isn't new to you, because we try to say it a lot. We say that our purpose and our mission of the Northeast Church is to love God, to grow deeper, and share Jesus. And we want that at the forefront. To remember, our mission, our purpose is to love God, grow deeper, and share Jesus. We want to love God. We exist to love God with all of our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. We exist to grow deeper. We desire to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus daily and in our knowledge of his will for our lives. And we desire to be a church that shares Jesus. We are called to share the good news of Jesus and serve others in his name. So that's our purpose and mission. So as we just briefly, and I know those, just reading what we have there, but just want us to see that, want us to lay eyes, that this stuff, because of the loving devotion of our leaders, our shepherds who have taken time to say what's most important to us as a church body, that we have these things assembled. And we want to put this in front of all of us, our church, often to remind us who we are, so that we can determine what we do as we move forward. And so that's what this series will really talk about then. Okay, what are the core actions then? What are our core values? That's what this series is meant to discuss. What are the core values that we have as a church? And these core values that I'm about to put up on the slide are built upon these beliefs and this purpose and mission that we have as a church. And so, as you'll see on our website, we have 7 core values. I'm not going to read through all these today. You're thinking, oh man, there's 7 more things he's going to go through. Not going to do that. But in each lesson, I want to focus on one of these values. And I want to call us to each one of these values in order to inspire us to go out and to put these things into practice. As we face various decisions in life and face crossroads and face moments in which we have to say, how am I going to respond to this or that? I want us to call ourselves back to these values and to live in light of these values. And as we function as a church, we want to say, what are we going to do? What are we not going to do? We want to constantly come back to these values, to these beliefs, to this purpose, this mission. And so as you see all of these core values here this morning, I just want to focus on the first. And not only because it's first, but also because it's directly related to our purpose and mission and beliefs as well, as all of these are, but this one in particular. And that first one is love for God. That's a value here, is we want to express our love for God. And I want to talk about, for just a few minutes this morning, what that looks like and what that means. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was encountered by a group of religious leaders. And this group of religious leaders, they gathered for the sole purpose of trying to test Jesus. And so they got together and thought, okay, what's the question? What could we ask him that's going to stump him? Right? He was this teacher. So many were gathering to hear. So many people were listening to about what was coming. And said, what's a question we could ask him? This wannabe teacher, what could we say that could stump him? We've probably all been in situations where someone asks that sort of leading question where it seems like they know, you know, can't tell why they're asking that question, but it seems like they have a motive in mind for why they're asking the question. As parents probably face this a lot with your children, asking these leading questions, they're trying to manipulate in a way or to get a desired result from the question that they're asking. So that's what I imagine here in Matthew chapter 22 as one of them, one of the experts in the law, one of these religious teachers, tested him with a question. And here was that question. It said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And I find that an interesting question. And as we think about that question, because the way, you know, I would have understood that, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, would have been, ha, trick question. There is no greatest commandment of the law. They're all great. And so I expect Jesus to say all of them. Like, there's not one that's better than, if it's said once in Scripture, it's the most important one. Like, we need to keep them all perfectly. Like, that's as a reader of Scripture, person who grew up reading Scripture, like, that's what I expect Jesus to say, because that's how I thought. But what does he say? He doesn't say that. Instead, he says this. And by the way, they would have expected this as good Jewish people. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. In other words, not all the instructions and commands of Scripture are to be weighted equally. And that's hard for us to wrap our mind around, but Jesus said, no, this is the priority. And there's a reason why it's the priority. He says, but this is the priority. He says, you are before all other things. Guess what? Thousands of years ago, they had all the debates about Scripture. They had all the debates that we have today as well. Even in Judaism, there was debate about what this law meant or what that law meant or what you're supposed to do with this or that. And Jesus said, listen, first of all, first things first, love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. He said, that's the first and the great commandment. But then he continues on. And he says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what's interesting is what Jesus says next. He said, this is the priority. What it means to love, and these two are so closely tied together. He said, what it means to love God with all that we imagine, you know, trying to be obedient, trying to serve, trying to love God, trying to give him everything we have. He said, but then Jesus ties this one like right up there with it. You know, they're not the same, but they're one flows into the other. When you love God, You can't say you love God if you don't love your neighbor, in other words, is what Jesus is saying. If you don't have love for neighbor, then you claim to have love for God, he's saying you've missed something. You've messed up the first one and failing to carry out the second. And so what he says next is interesting, though. As he ties these two together, he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. And again, paradigm shift for the way I used to think about it. I used to think about it. I love God, try to do all the commands, do them perfectly, and then I'm going to do my best to be nice. Like, I'll try to be cordial, but, you know, if you don't agree with what God has to say, you and I are going to have some issues or whatever. You know, we don't get as long as well. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says that these two are so tied together that all the other commands, all the other things that I'm not trying to minimize or to look down on, because obviously we have a series here, we're going to be getting into other things. He said, but all those other things flow out of these two commands. And so it's not that nothing else is important, but Jesus is emphasizing the importance of these two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor. And when you think about Christianity and following Jesus as a whole and what God calls us to do, our most basic call is to love God and to love people. Yes, there's other things. There's other things we need to think about. There's other things that we need to grow in and talk about. But at the end of the day, these are the two that all those other things flow out of. If we get these two right, typically the other things are going to take care of themselves. Those things are going to work itself out. We're going to find ourselves faithful to those things if we've been faithful to these two things. So as we think about love God as a core value of the Northeast Church, I would say this particular conversation is bigger than just the core value of the Northeast Church. And I would say that to love God and to love people is a core value of the way of Jesus. And that's why it's a core value of the Northeast Church. It's because we see this in Jesus' teaching, as we've just highlighted this morning, but we also see it in the way that he lived, story after story, where Jesus shows love. He expresses love to his Father by loving those who were considered the least of these, who were considered to be unlovable, to be considered untouchable, to be considered unreachable. Yet Jesus took time to love them. He loved his disciples, those who were closest to him. He loved those who were downtrodden, those who were ostracized, those who were marginalized. But he also loved his enemies, those who were trying to test him, those who were trying to trip him up and to cause him trouble. He loved them as well. As we think about this core value, we understand, okay, what it means to love God. That seems to be clear, is I'm going to be devoted to him, I'm going to seek him, search for him, devote my time, energy, and resources for him. But I've also got to be a part of his mission and to love others. Not just love those who love me, because that's radical enough, right? Is to love well, even though people struggle, even to love their own family well, even to love their own friends well. That's a human struggle. So it's radical when we do that. And when we do that well, not perfectly, but when we do it well, when we love our friends, our neighbors, coworkers, our family. But even more than that, a step further, Jesus challenges us to love our enemies, to love our, as he did, love his political opponents, to love his persecutors. And Jesus calls us into that as well, which makes the Christian faith so radical. And so, core value of the Northeast Church, bigger picture, core value of the way of Jesus, is to love God, is to fully devote ourselves to him. And then the second part of that, and to radically love and serve others. And so I call us to that this morning, as we wrap up the first lesson in this series, is to go back to the core of the core, which is to love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We did a series last year where we called ourselves to that from Luke chapter 10. As we start this year, I call us back to that. Before we have all these other conversations about core values. Let's go back to the core of the core and remind ourselves that the true purpose of our life is to love God and to love others. As we think about that this week, I challenge you to not just take this stuff in. It's not just an informative series about what Northeast is like and what do we value here as disciples who meet here at the Northeast Church. But I challenge you to take each one of these core values and go out, put it into practice. Hopefully we see it in the programming of this church. Hopefully we see it in the trajectory of where we're going as a church. But also I challenge you, go out and to live this out. Go love God. Grow deeper with him in prayer. I had someone ask me about some of the resources from our prayer series we just went through. Right? Dig into some of those resources. Dive deeper into your relationship with God in prayer. Devote yourself to him in scripture and the spiritual disciplines. But also, give yourself over to the service of your friends, neighbors, even the neighbors you really don't like and you kind of wish they would move. Right? Be nice. Love. Show kindness. And even in the small insignificant ways that you can bless those around you over the long term are radical and extremely significant and make a difference. So my question for you this morning, and then we'll close in a prayer. My question for you, as we think about living into your core values, here's the thing about core values, is as we go about and try to live them out, we're in a tension, whether or not we live them out or whether or not we're living against our core values. And so my question for you this morning is, are you living according to the greatest core value of the way of Jesus, which is to love God and to love others? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning that we have to start this new year. And we're thankful for this first Sunday of the new year that we get to gather together, proclaim your name, to sing praises to you, to pour our hearts out to you, to renew ourselves in communion and thinking about the sacrifice of Christ, the life of Christ, and the resurrection power he calls us to live in through the gift of your Spirit. And Father, we pray that you'll bless us in our study together as we think about what's core to us here at the Northeast Church. And pray that you'll empower us through your Spirit to go out and to live these things. Pray that you'll empower the leaders of this church to set the trajectory based on what's core to our faith and what's core to our beliefs. And pray that we can come together as a church in 2024 and live these things out and be connected to this mission of Jesus, but this mission that was embodied and expressed by some of the original families of this church who wanted to reach the Cincinnati and Upper Cincinnati area. And pray that you'll bless us in that this year as we have so many great things moving us towards that trajectory. And Father, we pray that you'll bless us today. Bless anyone here today who is struggling with something as we start the new year. Maybe the holiday seasons, Father, weren't so awesome for them. We're tough and they just need some encouragement this morning. Father, we pray that you'll fill them with that through our fellowship and through your presence. Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we go and empower us to live the way of Jesus. We pray this all in Jesus' name.